What a privilege to fill this pulpit. I mean, honestly, I praise the Lord for that. Folks, take your Bible today and go to the book of Mark, chapter number 15. Mark chapter 15, just a little plug for this evening, folks. I want to preach on the subject this evening on the subject of Halloween, that festival of Samhain, as that's where that thing came from, and something that we need to know about, need to know where the roots of it are, so if you could make time to come tonight, that would be wonderful. Let's just see what this whole book has to say about it, amen? And that's what's important about it. So, Mark chapter number 15. In Mark chapter 15, we see that here that Jesus is sent before Pontius Pilate. Of course, you have the mock trial and everything that goes along with that. And of course, the soldiers of Herod, they led Jesus away. They put a crown of thorns on him, and it brings us down here to verse number 25. And the Bible says, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him." Now they crucified the Son of God, and for the sins of the world, and that was God's reasoning, but that wasn't their reasoning, all right? But then a whole lot of things happen when he's on that cross and everything, and I want you to just turn over here, a little different way I'm doing this morning, verse 46, and look at that there, if you would. And he bought fine linen, of course. This here is Joseph of Arimathea, and he took him down and wrapped him in linen, and laid him in a sepulcher. Here we see the burial of Jesus Christ. I just showed you the death there in verse 25. And here is the burial of Jesus Christ. And it says that they laid him in a sepulcher. That's a tomb, which was hewn out of rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. There's the burial of Jesus Christ. And look with me over at chapter 16, verses 2 through 7. The Bible says, "And very early in the morning." So here Jesus dies. Don't miss it now. He dies, all right? He's buried. Watch it now. In chapter 16, verse 2. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Stone was too big, folks, all right? "And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted." These folks were afraid of what was going on here. Watch it now, verse 6. "He saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth." He's telling them that. "Hey, I know you're seeking Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Father, I want to thank you for the word of God. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ over the atmosphere here in the air in this auditorium today. And in the name of Jesus Christ, that name of all authority, we claim your victory over darkness, and we the spirit of distraction or whatever it may be that keep us from the truth today, that it would be banished from this place. I thank you for what you're going to do, precious God. Spirit of God, would you take over now, I ask? Thank you for what you're doing. Meet our needs. We're a needy people. In Christ's name, amen. I want you to keep your finger there in Mark chapter 15 and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 just for a moment here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to get a definition of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel's right here defined in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Watch it now, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Verse 5 says, "And that he was seen of Cephas, and then the 12. Listen, folks, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10, as the Apostle Paul knew that old gospel so well, he said, that I may know him, he's speaking of Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. The Apostle Paul, and you'll see what I'm getting at here in just a minute, wanted to know Christ in his resurrection, he wanted to know him in his burial, he wanted to know him in his death. Okay? The word Christian, don't miss it, the word Christian means little Christ. If you're a Christian, you're to look like a little Christ. All right? A Christian is to be a walking, talking, functioning picture of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. I'm talking about a complete identification with the Lord Jesus, a oneness with him. I want to preach in a subject today. What is the gospel? What does the gospel look like in the New Testament believer? And the first thing I want us to see is the death of Jesus Christ. We saw it here in verses 24 and 25. And when they had crucified him, Mark 15, verses 24 and 25, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Leading up to that crucifixion, Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, right? One of the closest people to him. Folks, you ever been betrayed by a friend? Betrayed by a loved one? I want to tell you what Jesus Christ has. He understands. He knows. Jesus then was arrested on lies and false accusations. In the midst of that, Peter, one of the faithful ones, denied him. Imagine being brought up on false charges. Imagine this morning being brought up on charges that you really did do. And your family says, no, I don't even know that guy. Imagine your dad and your mom saying, nope, I don't know him. Jesus was brought up on charges he didn't do. And they're saying, no, I don't know him. Forsaken, despised, and rejected of men. I want to tell you, Christian, he knows. He knows what you're going through. I want to tell you in here today that may not know Jesus as Savior, Jesus still knows what you're going through. You see, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that's God the Father, hath laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. That's everybody in the room this morning. Your sin was laid on Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 22, that Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, the just died for the unjust. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ was put on that cross, and that he became sin on that cross. And dear friend, he was your substitute. Every one of us in the building this morning deserved to be crucified up there, and every one of us deserved to go to hell for all eternity. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to take the punishment. Amen. But the death and all the sin that was placed upon the Son of God couldn't even keep him down. Amen. Because the Bible says he rose from the dead the third day. I want to say this morning. If you're in here this morning and you don't know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus Christ, are you one of his sheep? Are you one of the good shepherd's sheep? Are you one that hears Jesus' voice and you follow? Do you belong to him? Are you saved? I want to tell you, don't leave the building this morning without knowing you're saved from this old book. Amen. If you're in here today, that's the invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's what he said. And I will give you rest. Rest is in Jesus' arms. Are you in his arms this morning? That's true salvation. I don't care what anybody else in the world's preaching. I don't care what they're teaching. It doesn't make any difference. What matters is what this old book says. What matters is what Jesus said. The fact that he's the door. Amen? He's the door. He's the only way to heaven. He's the door. Amen. It's about him. Have you gone through the door? It's the door now. No man cometh unto the Father but by me through the door. Amen. Now, we need him. The death of Jesus Christ. Yes. Mark chapter 14, verse 65, the Bible says, and some began to spit upon him and to cover his face and to buffet and to hit him. You know, they begin to buffet him. And then you have Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate, and Herod's men crowned him with the thorns, and that horrible scourging and the cat of nine tails, ripping of his flesh and plucking out his beard, all for you and for me. Psalm 22, 7 says, and all they that see me laugh me to scorn. That's rejection. Mark 15, verse 25, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Folks, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Mark 15, 34, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus cried with a loud voice, it says in verse 37, and gave up the ghost. You see, because of the cross of Calvary, dear friend, he can identify with every single one of our heartaches. He can identify with every single one of our pains. He can identify with every single one of our anxieties. He can identify with every single one of our failures. Oh, he didn't fail, but he can identify with it because he suffered the consequence of it. Please understand that. He knows. Our disappointments, our circumstances, our sicknesses. And sometimes our despair. You ever feel like, why am I even living? Just easier to end it all right here. You'd be surprised how many think that way. You'd be surprised how many Christians think that way. I'm going to tell you what, the Son of God knows all about it. Amen. Like the old song says, he knows all about our trouble. Because he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted. He was in all points tempted, tried. Everything thrown at him. All hell could throw at anyone was thrown at the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was tempted. Yet, he was without sin. He took it all. Yes, he knows what you're dealing with. And I'm going to tell you, he cares. Now, I just spent the last few minutes here saying he identifies with us. Here's the question. Here's the question, child of God. Here's the question. Do you identify with him? Oh, I could throw it right back at me. I'm preaching to you, though. All right? Huh? This is already preached to me. Any preacher that preaches and knows anything, he gets her first. Amen, Pastor? Yeah. Do I identify with him? Do you identify with him? Amen. You know, I guess it was last week. I forget when it was. I remember you guys know 144 out here. There, and you know, everybody know where the Utah house is and where it used to be, I guess. So anyway, you go out there and I get out there one day and there's this big line of traffic, right? And I looked up the road and man, I mean, and the roads and the people just flying, coming down the mountain there with these Penn State flags on their cars. You know? And I mean, tell you, and it was miles upon miles, and I thought, I'm never going to get across that mountain to Belleville. You know what I mean? Why? What were they doing? They were identifying with Penn State. I'm telling you, there's guys with campers with blue and white. Now, that guy paid money to have that done. I want to tell you, the hotel rooms and everything that were booked, I know guys that paint their house with those colors. You know what I'm saying? Why? They want to identify with Penn State. You see, that's what it is. All the tickets, the PSU jerseys, the clothing, all the things, you know. But I want to tell you, there's folks that want to identify with Harley Davidson. Boy, they'll have all the leather stuff on. Even have fancy rings, whatever it takes. Motorcycle. Well, there's hunters that want to identify with the hunting crowd, the real tree, and the muzzy broadheads and the thunderheads. I may show my age, I don't know. But all the things there, Remington and Winchester, and oh yeah, that's me. Yep. I'm a tree guy. With tree guys have on their pickup trucks, Samson rope, you know? Silky handsaws. You know, something else. On and on it goes, right? T-shirts and hats. But you see, in Luke 22 and verse 42, where the Lord Jesus Christ, there he was in that garden, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And I'll tell you why he was sweating those great drops of blood. Because, Rusty, he was just getting ready to take your sin upon him. Amen. Mrs. Stover, he was just getting ready to take your sin upon you, on him. That's what he was doing. That's why it was sweating those great drops. I want to tell you, it's personal with him. Amen. He had you in mind, Sarah. You mark it down. That's what he did. And he says, Lord, if you be willing, would you remove it? Would you remove this whole thing from me? Would you remove this cup from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Was he identifying with Penn State that day? How about Realtree? How about some other thing that we want to identify with and think is great that we're living for? No. He identified with the Father and the Father's will. That's all he cared about, buddy. That's it. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death of our will. The death of what we want and what we desire to accomplish and to do. And alive in Him. God will speak to you if you want Him to. Jesus was identified with His Father. I know of a man that loves the Lord Jesus. No man's perfect. I get that. I know a man loves the Lord, and I've seen him. I've seen people come up to him and give him a hard time. His family owns a pretty good sized business, and they come up to him and he says, they say stuff to him. He says, "Well, you this happened there at that business, and this happened." And a lot of times it's a lie anyway. People in this valley, people lie about stuff. Come on. And I want to tell you, that guy and the people that say things to him, they're fighting words. Oftentimes, I'll see, I can tell when he's getting nervous and they're doing that to him. He'll put his head down, he'll say, yeah, well, you know, that's really not true. Here's what happened. And he answers in such a kind and gracious way. I'm standing back going, wow. That's hard when somebody attacks your family, isn't it? He answers in such a way he can witness to that guy the next time he sees him. And by the way, so can the rest of the family. Why? Why is that? Not my will, but thine be done. As a man goes down this road called life, the Penn State flag means a big fat zero. The NASCAR flag, the Winchester, the Remington, the whatever you want to say, and the hunting thing, the Realtree, big zero. The political party flag, I get it. One side's better than the other. One side's a little more on the Word of God than the other side. I get that, but it's still a big zero in eternity. Amen. Yes. Why? Because I'm crucified with who? The Republican Party? No. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of what? The Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Folks, we need to gaze on heaven. In these days and times, we need to gaze on the Son of God. Amen. Galatians 5 and verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You know that thing that gets you irritated about somebody? Think, well, why that guy? That really gives it to me. That's the flesh talking. That's the affections and lusts. That needs to be put down. Put down. Why? Because it is? Because it's buried in tomb. We'll get to that here. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Yes. Galatians 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What's the Apostle Paul saying? I'm dead to this thing. Heard the old preacher say one time, he said, are you crucified unto the world and the world unto you? Or does the world just fascinate you? Is the world what you're living for? You see, there's a cost to follow Jesus Christ. But boy, is there a cost not to follow Him. crucified, dead to what we want and what our will is, and alive in Him, crucified to do His will. That is what it means to identify with His cross. But number two, I want you to see the burial of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 46 with me, if you would. And He bought fine linen and took Him down and wrapped Him in the linen and laid Him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of rock and rolled the stone upon the sepulcher. Jesus was laid in a tomb. Now, folks, here's the reason Jesus Christ was laid in that tomb. It's because He was dead. That's why you bury a man. Because he's dead. Romans 6:3 says this, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Hey guys, I'm not talking about water baptism here. That's not what this is speaking about in context here. It's talking about being baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, the true church. Romans 6:4, "Therefore we were buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life." But it says we were buried with Him by baptism. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit," don't miss it, "for by one Spirit are we all baptized into" what? "One body. Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." You see, when you get saved, when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you are baptized into the true church, which is Jesus Christ's body. You're baptized into a body of believers. But also, Jesus Christ is placed in you. We're baptized into the body of into His body, and Jesus Christ is in us.
Amen.
All right? It works. It's both ways. So listen, we're here at Grace Baptist Church. This is a Bible believing church, and I praise God for it. But I want to tell you what, it's not the true church. It's a local representation of it. Okay, we could say that. But the true church of Jesus Christ are all those who are saved, folks. Out of every denomination, anything, anywhere, it's those who have received Jesus, and they know that He is mine and I am His.
Amen.
Or churches around this neck of the woods won't teach you that. They'll teach you that because Jesus died, that everybody's saved. No, it's a personal choice.
That's right.
"But as many as received Him, to them gave He power or authority to become the sons of God." Only those that received Him. All right? So we're baptized into this body. Remember though, but the Bible says we're baptized into death. By baptism. And of course that's spiritual baptism. Water baptism is also in the Bible, but this isn't what these passages are speaking of here. Water baptism is when you get saved and that spiritual baptism takes place, and when you receive water baptism, it's an outward show to say everybody, "Hey, listen everybody, I got saved, the old man has died, and inside there's been a change in my heart, and now I'm going to live for the Lord Jesus." That's what that's saying. It's an outward proclamation that, hey, listen, God's changed me.
Amen.
All right? It doesn't make a change. It just symbolizes what had already taken place. Okay? Now, watch it. Burial with Him. And burial with Him in baptism shows that we died with Him in our past sinful ways of living. Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be" what? "Destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin." The body of sin might be destroyed. That's that old nature of mine. Watch, let me make it practical here. Let's make it personal, all right? Over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ died, Ben Haupt was identified with Him. Oh, by the way, you were identified with Him. You're saved today, you're identified with Him. All right? You see, they led me out of an old Oriental city called Jerusalem. And when He died there, Jesus took Ben Haupt with Him. Jesus took Bub with him. Jesus took Van Knight with him. Ron. It is personal. And here we go, as a lamb to the slaughter, going down that road to the cross. And Jesus is saying this, oh, no, no. No, I'm going to do that for Van. I'm going to do that for you and for Andrew and for anyone else. You see, it's personal. That's what identification with Christ is. He took it. You see, took that punishment. You see, here's the thing. He took Ben Halp down that road to that cross. But Ben Halp's sin is the sin that put him there. Your sin put him there. He didn't have any sin. He said, no, I'll take it for you. You see. You see, he was identifying with you right there. It's personal. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins, that was us folks, hath he quickened. That means, quickened means made alive. You hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. You see, it's a personal oneness. He made us alive together with him. It's a marriage. When two people get married, it's a union. It's a oneness. That's what it is with Jesus Christ. It's a oneness. It means that we're dead to the world. We're dead to our ways and very much a partaker of his life, of his interests and of his thoughts and of his priorities. We take on a new life, a new identity. He gives you a new life. Often people get saved and keep going right down the same road. Do they? I don't know. Are they truly saved? I don't know. I don't have all those answers. But if you're saved, you're to identify with Christ. You see, we are baptized or submerged into his body, his life, his church. That's his body, his church, the New Testament church. The New Testament Christian, his identity is no longer, my identity is not to be wrapped up in Ben Halp anymore. No, no, no. And by the way, in a spiritual realm, what really counts, it's not. It's to be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You see, 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Right? But that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Why? Why? Because we are baptized into Christ's death, into his body. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Galatians 6:14, the Apostle Paul said, I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Listen, okay, you got a guy. Suppose you got a guy that, and he died, right? And he was buried, okay? And you go back and put fresh dirt on him and everything, and you go back a month later, and say it's in July or June, July, and there's daisies growing up by this mound of dirt that's going to settle, okay? And there the guy is, right? Now, that guy in that grave, aside from the afterlife, I put aside heaven and hell for the sake of illustration. The guy in the grave's not worried about anything. Are you hearing it? He's not stressed out. He's not concerned about this circumstance or that circumstance or the other. Why? He's dead. He's buried. We're dead. We're buried in Christ's body, and our concerns now become his. Or should I say, and his concerns become ours. Our purpose is no longer what we think about and what we want. Our purpose is his. Now listen. I get it. We all have responsibilities, and we're here to be a testimony, and those things aside. But I'm saying this, that there is a place in the prayer closet, in the meditation closet, as we meditate and we think on the gospel of Jesus Christ, it'll take those worries and cares away. I'll get to that in just a little bit, too. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. So, now, We're buried with him in baptism unto death. All right? That we might be raised with him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. You see, that we'll live in him. Not. You see, the baptism unto death is the death of my life. It's the death of my ways. Didn't know that when I first got saved. That's what it is. It's the death of my thoughts. And it's the new life of his ways, his thoughts, his life. Truly a description of the New Testament Christian as God wants us to be. All right? So number one, we saw the death. Number two, we saw the burial of Jesus Christ. And number three, I want to see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 6 says this, and he saith unto him, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Professor Josh McDowell set out to discredit and disprove Christianity with hundreds of hours of study and legal analysis. And instead of disproving it, McDowell ended up giving his life to Christ. Do you know how many other people did that? That guy that wrote that, Lee Strobel, those people that wrote Case for Christ and other different books. Anybody that sets out to disprove this book and does a real honest research on it ends up becoming a Christian. And a student at the University of Uruguay asked him after a talk that he gave there one day. And the student, it seemed like he was kind of irritated. He said, why couldn't you find some way to refute Christianity? McDowell says this. A very simple reason. I was unable to explain away the fact that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a real event in history. It happened. You can't deny it. Acts 1 and verse 3 says there's many infallible proofs. Over 500 people saw Jesus rise from the dead. Men went and suffered torture and death so that to tell of Jesus' resurrection. And they would not recant. Why? Because it happened. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact. And Romans 2 and verse 12 says we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him. Through what? Through the faith of the operation of God. Through the faith in the resurrection. How do we access this power to be released from guilt? How do we access this power to be released from the circumstance of our lives and the stress and all the bearing and all the things we're doing? Through faith. What was Pilgrim? You guys know, in Pilgrim's Progress, there he was. Pilgrim went the wrong way. He ended up in a castle. All right? In Giant Despair's castle, in his dungeon. And he was hopeless. He wanted to kill himself. And then he remembered. Pulled out of his back pocket. I forget where he get it. Where he got it. Wherever he had it. And there was a key. Do you know what the key was? Faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. Faith is the victor. Hey, doesn't it say that somewhere? Yeah. It's faith in this word of God. It's faith in his book. Sir, do you live in this book? Ma'am, do you live in this book? Do you live and breathe the Savior? Do you know him that way? Do you identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection in that way? That's what he's after. That's what he wants. That's what he deserves. We don't deserve it. But he deserves that. We get the rest of it. The rest, the peace. Okay? You remember I was telling you about that guy? Now I'm getting mixed up here. Yeah, I'm still telling you about that guy. Do you remember I was telling you about that guy in that grave? That new soil, and he had the daisies on top of him there. And what did we say his relationship to the world was? Well, he was dead to it. Right? And I'm going to tell you, when they bury you, you're done to this world. All right? In this life. You see, he's dead to it. And see, if you, Christian, identify with Jesus Christ's death on the cross, with his burial, you see, that burial has to do with that sin nature, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. That's that person that hates in Ben Haupt. That's that person that gets irritated in Ben Haupt. That's that person that doesn't love and doesn't, that's that person that holds a grudge. That's that person that has lustful thoughts. That's that person that wants somebody to pay for what they've done to me. That's all that in Ben Haupt. You see that man there that I'm describing you? He's in a grave. The problem is we don't take that by faith, do we? We let him live and we're monsters of iniquity because of it. He's in the grave. He's dead. But see, if you're raised and you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are a new man in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, if a man be in Christ, he's a new what? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Ephesians 1 verses 19 through 20, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, watch it now, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Listen, resurrection power lives in you. If you're saved, lives in you. That's Christ. Think of that song. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus my Lord, up from the grave he arose. Stop right there. Watch it. Up from the grave he arose. Dear friend, you put yourself right there. You rose with him. If you got saved, you're living above this thing called planet Earth. As you live in the Scriptures. Listen, it's a heavenly book. It's a celestial book. Not a terrestrial book. I know. We can put feet to it. That's the glory of it. It's practical. I get that. But there's also a celestial side to that thing. With a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and now he lives forever with the saints to reign. Christ arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. The seed is sown in weakness and in corruption, but it's raised in power and it's raised in life. And a man or lady that understands his or her identity with Jesus Christ, with his death and with his burial and in resurrection, will handle life circumstances differently. Think of the guy at the family reunion that's constantly just chapter hide. There's always somebody, Cousin Freddie. He knows everything about everything. And I know, it's bad. And you think in your heart, boy, that guy doesn't know anything. You know? He's a moron. That's what you want to say. I know, that's not right. I get it. That's what you think in your heart. It's like, man, that guy. But you want to give him a piece of your mind. Okay? Right. Why? Because the old man that wants to give him the piece of your mind, that wants to call him a moron, he's in that grave. Amen. That's why. And the new man takes over, you see. Because the new man's desire is to please Christ. The new man's desire is to live Christ. The new man's desire is to see Jesus Christ's personality lived out through this body. For to me to live is what?
Christ.
Yeah. For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. But for the present, as we all sit here, we're on this other end of it, aren't we? For Phil Cahill, to live for him is Christ. Same with Cam. Same with Nathan. For to me to live. This book's personal. Do you get in it and see it that way when you read it? Because you're missing a whole world if you're not. It's called meditation on the Word of God. Jesus Christ always gets the victory over sin, doesn't he, folks?
Amen.
He always gets the victory over disappointment, doesn't he? He always gets the victory over every circumstance. He always gets the victory over bitterness. He always gets the victory over envy, worry, anger, and yes, even a broken heart. He gets the victory of a broken heart. Yes. You know how many teenagers are out there today in the public school system or anywhere else, even in our churches and everywhere else, that have a crush on somebody, but they get flattened down and they think it's the end of the world, but they can't tell their parents. They can't tell this person. They can't tell that person. And I want to tell you what, and it drives them right to suicide. And I'm not kidding. Jesus Christ, young person, gives you the victory over broken heart.
Amen.
He will do it. But you have to know him and seek him. He always gets the victory over drug addiction. He always gets the victory over depression. He always gets the victory over oppression. You see, it happens as you, Christian, abandon yourself. And don't you miss this point. You must abandon Ben Help. You must abandon who you are. Abandon yourself to himself.
Amen.
Nothing else is going to touch you. Not your woes, not your cares, not your sorrow. I'm talking about identifying with the Lord Jesus. Didn't he give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And it's in this blessed gospel. It's the gospel. There's that fellow, you talk about power for living. I'm not talking about positive thinking, folks. I'm talking about the power of the Word of God. The gospel. You see. You abandon yourself to himself. It takes time and meditation of the Word to put yourself in his place, in his identity. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good what? Success. How about Psalm 1 through 3? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree. Hey, you feeling like a tree planted beside rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit? Do you feel fruitful? Feel like that big old tree spread out across there? No, you say, I don't feel like it. Not about feelings. It's about faith. Amen.
Amen.
That bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall what?
Prosper.
You don't have time to meditate in the Word of God? Dear friend, you better make time. You don't have time. You're too busy for that? You're too busy. You better change. You better make a whole change of lifestyle. I'm talking to this guy right here also. I know all about time. I know all about not having the time. Yeah. It's a wicked excuse. And it's sin. That's what it is. Because that's what life's about if you're saved. Do you know him personally? So you need to sit down. Get with him. I heard the old preacher say, I close here with this. Heard the old preacher say, we need to go home. It's after an evening service, and he was closing the invitation. He said, there's some folks in here tonight that need to go home and go to your own funeral. Hearing what I'm saying? Death to self. Go home and go to your own funeral and allow it to be there and allow yourself to be there in a tomb and end all the weakness. End all the failures. Focus on that resurrection and power and Christ's likeness and his glory. This gospel was made to fit this mind, folks.
Amen.
This book was made to fit these people that live in here. Yes, it was. And no man could have come up with it on his own. And I want to tell you what. Why should we go down to the cross? Why should we go down to the tomb and rise up with him in identification with Jesus Christ? The old preacher said it so well. Because it's the only way God gets glory. It's the only way God gets glory out of Ben Help's life. It's because it's no longer Ben Help, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Amen? What is God speaking to you about today? I'm convinced the crowd decided there's somebody sitting in here today. You know. You ain't got it right, and you're not even trying to be on the right path. And you've got to meet some changes. Wonder who that is today. Is God speaking to you about it, sir? Ma'am? Maybe there's somebody in here today. that you know. And you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm not sure that I even belong to Christ. Maybe there's someone here today. I don't know that I am saved. I don't know that I've trusted the fact that He died for me and rose from the dead. I've not made that personal with Him. Oh, dear friend, you can come and you can be saved.
Amen.
Today from this book. Let's go ahead and stand for prayer. I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to ask the pastor to come. I'll ask the piano player to come, Miss Eileen. And I'm going to let Pastor close. Listen, if God spoke into your heart and you need saved, hey, just come up this old-fashioned altar. Let somebody take you to this old book and show you how you can be saved. If you're here today, you're struggling with something, hey, listen, let God have His way. You say, oh, I'll be back here later on. You can come speak with me about something. If I can help you, I will. Don't have every answer. But let God have His way. Father, I want to thank You for Your precious word. God, You spoke to my heart so much. And Lord, I fail so many times because I'm just in this flesh and I rely on myself. Oh God, may You work in each one of us to identify with You in Your death, Your burial, and Your resurrection. I'll thank You for what You're doing now. Thank You that that kind of living defeats and plunges through the gates of hell. In Jesus' name, amen.